We invite you to open up your Bibles as we join Pastor Jin Lau for today's message.
We continue our series on Abide. I love that song, Abide in Me, Savior, Abide in Me, Love. The labor of God is the trust in His love. This, I would say, is the centerpiece of our series because we are now in the very middle of the five chapters that we are studying. And of all the chapters in the Bible, in the entire Bible, this is where we would see the word abide a lot. Abide. But as I was preparing for this, it dawned on me that the word abide is not something that we commonly use in our language today. Abide, or even the noun abode. We don't use those. So to bring this up to date, I'd like for us to watch this very short video. Are you connected? When you hear the word, when you hear the question, what comes to your mind? Are you connected? I'd like to hear. Are we connected here? What's connected to what? Communication, yes. What else? Are we connected? Are you connected? Relationship. Okay. I'm surprised no one's saying, are you connected to the Wi-Fi or the internet? Because most of our younger people would think about that first, right? Are you connected? Now, I like this video because while this is a social network working video, it gives quite an important truth there, at least two that I see. It's while it's about connection, and they were so much into this social network, the two main characters left their phones to connect more with each other in the swing. I thought that was nice. But the other one is, I realize it's quite fast there, but there, the last two lines, I thought was very important. It said, home is where your people are. Home is where your people are. And so it gives us a heartwarming message of welcoming us home. Now, let me connect that. But before we connect to the abide, I'd like for us to bring up the Greek word for that abide, the root word for what we are studying here in the series. Abide in Greek is meno. And it primarily means abide, of course, and to continue, to dwell, to endure, to be present, to be there, to remain, and to be connected in a sense. And so abiding in Christ gives us a sense or a picture of making a home because it's to dwell. So to abide in Jesus is to make a home in Jesus. And I'd like for us to start letting that sink into our minds because this is His loving invitation to you and me to make a home in Him as He desires to make a home in us as well. Now, talking about home, Tim Keller, author and preacher in New York, said something like this. And he suggested that we're very much like the prodigal son. He said, we are all exiles, always longing for home. We are always traveling, never arriving. The houses and families we actually inhabit are only inns along the way. But they aren't home. Home continues to evade us. The message of the Bible is that the human race is a band of exiles trying to come home. Isn't that so true? We try to find home. We try to settle down as much as possible. But home continues to evade us. And so this is a wonderful invitation for us to make a home in Jesus. So I would encourage you to open your Bibles right now to John chapter 15. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's one that's near you. And it's in page 1081. You can turn on your electronic Bibles as well. And as we do that, I pray that we would start to see ourselves making our home in Jesus. Let's start with verse 1. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Now skip to verse 5. Jesus continues to say, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I'd like to highlight just three things here. There are so many, it's so rich, but I'd like to highlight only three things out of this passage. First is that we can only have life in Christ. Let me say that again. We can only have life in Christ. Some of you are saying, that doesn't make sense. We can have life outside of Christ, right? Or maybe, Jen, you mean we can only have eternal life in Christ, we can only have spiritual life, or a new life in Christ. No, I would really like for us to think of this seriously and consider. We can only have life in Christ. Really? How about those who don't believe in Jesus? Don't they have life? I don't know. And I don't mean to be promoting spiritual pride here that we have the monopoly of faith. But rather, I'd like for us to stick to what God's word says. So I'd like for us to look at different portions of the scripture, starting with the very beginning in the creation in Genesis. It says here, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." Imagine that. God formed man from the dust. If you can picture that in your mind, it's lifeless. But when God breathes into this man, Adam, he becomes alive. Life comes from God. He breathes into us life. He is the source of life. He's the origin of life. And not just in God, but in Christ, really. And I mean literally in the person of Jesus Christ, because in Colossians 1:16, it says, "For in him, in Jesus Christ, all things were created." He was there breathing the life breath to the first man, Adam. "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Jesus Christ and for him." Amen? So, going back to our verse here, Jesus says he is the true vine. Has there been other vines? Yes, there has been, because in the Old Testament, Israel, the country of Israel, the nation, has always been referred to as the vine. The Jewish people, they take comfort and security in the fact that they are the chosen people of God, right? But as you and I know, Israel has not always been faithful and true. And so time came when Israel has been destroyed because God wants them to be renewed. Israel's been destroyed. The temple has been destroyed. And the temple represents the presence of God. And so when Israel was destroyed in a temple, the hope of life in Israel among the Jews has crumbled. And now Jesus is saying, "I am the true vine." In a sense, he's saying, "I'm the true Israel. I am the source of life. In me, you can find life. In me, you can live fully. This is the one that will not be destroyed. This is the one who will remain faithful and true." And if that's not enough, Jesus continues to say, "And my Father, you know my Father, the one who sent me, the one who's greater than I am, he is the vine dresser. He is the gardener. He's going to cause this plant to grow. He who is the one who formed everything, who created water and sun and everything, he's the one who would cause this plant to grow. Or more importantly, he's the one who would cause this life to grow." Isn't that amazing? He is the vine and the Father is the gardener. It's a perfect combination. There's nothing better than that. Now, as he portrays in verse 5, the contrast there is quite startling. Let's take a look. The one who abides or makes a home in him, what will happen to them? They will what? Bear fruit. They will bear not just fruit, much fruit. But those who don't, what happens to them? In verse 5, those who do not remain in him, what does it say? They can do nothing, right? It says here, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." If we don't make a home in Jesus, I will make this statement again, we'll not have life. Consider these claims of Jesus Christ. In the book, in the Gospel of John, Jesus makes 7 statements of "I am" there. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of, I am the resurrection and the life." Right? He is life himself. Now, there's another statement he said, "I am the light of the world." Now, pause for a moment here. What would the world be without light? Some of you dark, of course. But There is a forum among the physicists, actually, in the internet, and they had this philosophical question of what would the universe be without light? Consider that for a moment. What would it be without light? Some of them have gone to different scientific explanation of EM, electromagnetism, and protons, and all of this. This will all be not present. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I know from back in elementary that a plant without light dies, right? Life without the light is no life at all. There can be no life outside of Christ. Consider this for a moment. Could it be that we have been so programmed that we find it now acceptable and normal that there can be life outside of Christ? Think about it for a moment. Can there really be life outside of Christ? Check what's in the prologue of this gospel. In the very beginning, John chapter 1, starting with verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." And who is this Word? Jesus Christ. "The Word became flesh, and He dwelt among us. In the beginning was Jesus, and the Word, and Jesus was with God the Father, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning." Listen to this. "Through Jesus, all things were made. Without Jesus, nothing was made that has been made. And more importantly, in Jesus was life. And that life was the light of all mankind." There is simply no life outside of Christ, period. What does that mean to you and me today? What about those people who don't believe in Jesus? Isn't that being preposterous and arrogant for us to declare there's no life outside of Christ? Well, I'd like us to just stick again to God's Word. June, my wife, recently cut off a branch from our apple tree. Our apple tree is not bearing any fruit, but it has, you know, tried crawling across our neighbor's yard. But she cut off a branch. And as she cut off a branch, she noticed that the core of the branch is dark. And what would that mean? If it's dark, it's dead. Because a fresh wood would be bright in color. But this one's dark. And so what would she do with it? It's useless. It's lifeless. And so she threw it, right? I believe today, many people look alive. Like the branch. It looks like the rest of the branches in our apple tree. People today, they look alive. They do a lot of things. They walk, they work, they study, they laugh. They do many things. But you know what? Without Jesus, they're dead. They're dead. Perhaps walking dead. No. How are we in our connection with Jesus? I think it might be good for us to reflect on that. Am I connected to Christ? Am I finding life elsewhere other than Christ? Am I thriving even without Jesus as the center of my life? More importantly, are you alive in Christ today? Let's continue with verse 2. "He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." And then jump to verse 6. "If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown and withers." It's thrown away and withers. "Such branches are picked up, thrown to the fire, and burned." This is exactly what my wife did. She got that dead wood. It's useless. It's lifeless. And so she threw it. And not into the fire, because our neighbors would have reported us if he'd done so. But anyway, there is just no life outside of Christ. That's it. The second thing that I'd like for us to highlight is that connected but disconnected. We are connected but disconnected. A few weeks ago, when I would drive and I have to make somebody a call, I would often use Siri, my phone app. And so I asked Siri, "Please call my wife." And Siri responded, "I do not know your wife." And she continued saying, "In fact, I do not know you." Well, this was the time when my phone carrier replaced my broken phone, and they gave me a refurbished one, and I have not logged into my Apple ID yet. So I was kind of connected, but disconnected. Siri does not know me, and so I had to do that. It's just like many of our younger people today. My son, when we would gather together to read for our family devotion, he is there, but he's not, because he has his phone right in front of him. Many of you are nodding because you understand what's going on there. Listen to his words here. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Both branches, the one that bears fruit and the one that does not, they are connected to him, right? Every branch in me, it's connected one way or another. And those that bear fruit, they are cut back, they are pruned, so that they may bear even more. But those that do not bear fruit, they are cut off totally. Now, that might scare a few of us, or some of us. Who are these people that are cut off? Does that mean that I have to do more? I have to read more? I have to share my faith more? Yes, you have to share your faith more, but not because you are afraid to be cut off, but because of your love for Christ. But who are these people that would be cut off? They are people who are not really connected. They're dead. They do not remain. They are not making their home in Christ. That's why they're cut off. What this verse challenges us, I believe, is for us to consider, am I connected? Am I making my home in Jesus? And just like the branch that June cut off from our tree, there are people today, and I'd like you to listen to this. There are people today who look like Christians because they go to church. They sound like Christians. They talk like Christians. They sing like Christians. In fact, some of them even pray like Christians. But they are not making their home in Jesus. They are not connected. So that when they are with their friends who don't like Jesus, they live like they don't know Jesus at all. And we know in the story of Jesus that there are two of his 12 these apostles who kind of denied him, right? One repented, but the other chose darkness instead of light. Just like Adam and Eve, they were given life, but they chose darkness that leads to death instead of light that leads to life. If you're truly connected to Christ, if we are truly making our home in Christ, what happens to us is whatever is in the vine, whatever we would use the word root in the picture of root and trunk here, because we're not so much of a vineyard or vine people, whatever comes out of the trunk flows into the vine, into the branches. So what comes out of the root will flow into your bloodstreams and mine as well. So what comes out of Christ? What comes out of God? What is he really about, if you would think about it? God sent his son because of what? Jesus would lay down his life because of what? Isn't it because of love? Isn't it because God so loved the world that he gave? And he gave his life because he loved, right? And so love would be flowing in and through our bloodstreams. And that's what would happen when you are making your home in Christ. And when you're making your home in Christ, you would change because it's like his DNA now running in your system. You would be more loving. You'd be more looking like Jesus. And the more evident of this is the fruit of the Spirit. It makes sense now for love to come out. More love out of your life. Not love for self. Not love for your car. Not love for your phone. It's love for others. Love for God above all else, right? Love. And then there would be more joy. There'd be more peace. You'd be more gentle. You'd be more kind. You'd be faithful. There will be self-control. Yes, that's true. If you are abiding in Christ, you are connected, making your home in him, there'd be more self-control. Those of us who are struggling with anger so much, we would see that life of Christ more and more in us, that there would be gentleness and kindness. There would be self-control as well. So, It is not for us to be concerned that because I'm not doing Bible reading much or what, that I'd be cut off. Jesus is more loving than that. He is so gracious. I'd like for us not to be guilty because I'm not bearing fruit. That's why I can be cut off. But Christ is doing His work in us as we connect to Him. One of the ways that He is doing that for those who are connected to Him is they are being pruned. It's also called cutting back. So both branches here, the one that bears and the one that does not, they are subjected to cutting one way or another. And cutting is always painful. And some of us are going through painful experiences in life. We call that suffering, right? But I would like to warn you that the equation of I am suffering, therefore I am in Christ. No, that's not always true. Because more often than not, our suffering is caused by our wrong actions and decisions. But when you are in Christ, those who are making their home in Him are not exempted from suffering. But I also want us to take note that the suffering per se is not the one that cleans or cleanses us or prunes us. It's not the suffering. It's His Word. Ultimately, it's Jesus who's causing us to be cleansed and to be pruned. So let's not look for sufferings, okay? After it is, okay, I want to suffer. That's not the point. The point is to be abiding in Him, to be connected in Him. And when we are going through suffering, take heart. Take heart because you're probably being pruned. Amen? Every branch in me that bears fruit or does not bear fruit, there's cutting happening. When we hear warnings like this, we need not look simply at others. Maybe it's good for us to check ourselves. How am I abiding in Christ? How am I connecting to Him? Now, talking about connected and disconnected, isn't it interesting that in any time in the entire history of mankind, today we have the most capability of connecting with people, electronically for that matter. We can connect to the other side of the globe right now at an instant and we can get a response right away, right? There are connections that we can have right now that's not available 50 years ago, 100 years ago. There's just more connection available for us. When you go to the hospital, people of different languages, they can have translators. They have tools that would help them communicate clearer and to be not misunderstood, right? There's supposed to be lesser miscommunication and lesser misunderstanding. Now, everybody, especially those beauty pageants, they would ask, what's your one wish? World peace, right? But isn't it interesting that with all the gadgets that we have today, we haven't attained world peace? Isn't that true? In fact, how many countries are involved in war today? The one who can answer this, not you, Gabe, the one who can answer this will have a gift, you know, care of Pastor Gary. It's a free gift. It's a free trip to Lemon Grove. How many countries are involved in war today? Any guess? Come on, give me a number. 80? Wow. It's actually 65. 65 countries are involved in war today. Now, talk about that. We all desire to have peace, right? But there's war. What's going on? We're connected, but disconnected. And because there's no life outside of Christ. And I'd like for us to take a look at the third right now. Fruitfulness is not necessarily measured quantitatively. Fruitfulness is not necessarily measured quantitatively. I used to think that some people are gifted in evangelism and they are more fruit bearing. They bear more fruit. And so I thought that maybe bearing fruits is not for everybody, not for all Christians. But is that what really Jesus said? Let's take a look at verse 3 here. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. What does it mean to bear fruit then? And you'll have more time to discover this and dig deeper into your growth group. So I encourage you to be in your growth groups. If you're not part of one, visit one. If you're not, if not workable, you know, study what's at the back of your sermon notes and share it with someone else. But I'd like for us to just simply point out the bearing fruit is to receive again what's coming out of the vine, what's coming out of the trunk. What did I say what's coming out of the trunk? Love. And so in a sense, fruit bearing starts with living a life of love. That's just the start of it. And I think that would invite us to dig deeper because we do like to live a life of love. And we would like to live in a love environment where there is so much more going on of loving for God and loving for others than hatred, than chaos, than the opposite. We would like to have love more than anything else. So that they that remain in me will bear much fruit. And then in verse 7, jumping now, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Wow, that's amazing, right? Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Let me try this out. Let me just be modest in my request here for God. Maybe I'll just limit it to three things. Let me try this. How about this one? And this one. Or maybe I can ask for, maybe I can ask to be taller than Pastor Derek, right? Maybe those things. Folks, this is not what it is about, right? We cannot trivialize God's word. We cannot just ask for a Lamborghini or to have a yacht or to be 5 inches or 7 inches taller. It's, you have to look and stick to the text. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you ask. And when you ask, what comes out? Because of what comes out of the vine, you would be asking out of love. You would be asking out of love. Again, not love for self. It's love for God. And it's love for others. So that's what you would be asking for. And if you would consider what Jesus would often pray about when he was here on earth, what was he doing? It's all for God's glory. And so that is what we would be asking, because if my words, if Jesus' words remain in us, we would be reflecting the words of Christ. We would be echoing the words of Christ. And so it would be about God's glory, which is the next verse in verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. When we bear fruit, we're not glorifying ourselves. It's going to be glorifying God. It's lifting God up. It's not about being so good, spiritually speaking, that you're bearing a lot of fruit, but it's the glory of God. So how do we make our home in Jesus? Let's try to land this now. First, we know there's no life outside of Jesus Christ. And let that continue to sink into your hearts right now. We are connected but disconnected. And fruit bearing is not necessarily just measured quantitatively. By the way, quantitatively, it's also good. I'm not saying that's bad at all. The Bible speaks about numbers, right? There were 120 people in the upper room. And Jesus calls us to make disciples of all nations. And so therefore, we would like to reach the billions of people all around the world. That's good. But it's not only that. It's out of this quality of life that is full of love. So how do we take this home now? How do we make our home in Jesus? I'd like to bring up three again here. I seem to like the number three. But first of taking home, making our home in Jesus is conversations. We converse with God. We talk to God. When we talk to God, what is that called? Prayer. We simply talk to God. We converse to Him. First of all, responding to the good news, to the gospel. There are many people in the scripture that responded to the good news. And one of them, one of the accounts is in John chapter 1. This is in 35 to 42 when John the Baptist proclaimed Jesus was coming, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And two of his disciples followed Jesus. And when these two people were following Jesus, Jesus turns around and asks them, "What is it that you want?" In a sense, that's the NIV translation. But in a sense, Jesus is asking, "What do you seek? What are you after?" This is a very good conversation. The two disciples, in turn, responded by asking, where are you staying? And they're using the word meno again. Where are you making your home? Jesus invites them lovingly, come and see. Come and see. And we would see this invitation very frequently in the Bible when Jesus would invite, come. Come and see. As a result, these two disciples, they stayed with Jesus. They used the word again, meno. They stayed. They made their home in Christ. And we know that these two disciples remained with Jesus for the rest of his earthly life. So conversations. Have we responded to the good news? Is the good news really good? Is it really very good for you? Have you responded saying, wow, God, this is amazing. I'd like to respond to you. Or have we found something more amazing outside of Jesus Christ? Have we made that first connection with Jesus? If you've been dragged to church today, I don't know why you're... You might want to ask, why am I here? Is it because of the person who dragged me today? But the better question to ask is, have I made that connection with Jesus? Have I made him my Lord and my Savior? Have I responded to his invitation to come to him? Maybe it's good for us to reflect on that and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've been trying to look for life elsewhere outside of you. It's time for me to come home. It's time for me to make a home in you, and you make a home in me. For others, it's really just talking to God. These conversations where need not be very serious and deeply religious. It doesn't have to start with our Father or big words or end with amen. My younger son, when he was only 3 years old, we were praying before we ate. And so somebody prayed, Lord, thank you for this food. In Jesus' name, amen. And my younger son said, why is the name of Jesus amen? Kids just say the funniest thing. But we can converse with God. It doesn't have to be deeply religious. When we're driving, we talk to God. When we're out shopping, do you think it would be a good idea to talk to God? Maybe so. To pray to him. When we're walking, when we're working, when we're studying, converse with God, make a home in him. He desires to connect with you. Secondly, communion. This is a wonderful invitation. Come to the table. Jesus said in John 6:56, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me. The word meno again. He remains in me and I in him. So whoever partakes of the bread and drinks of the cup is making their home in me and I make their home in them. It's a wonderful, wonderful invitation. It's one of the most tangible things we can connect with God because we taste, we touch, we taste and see that the Lord is good. It's also clear when Paul said, do not take this in an unworthy manner. I strongly believe the unworthy manner there is that when we are falsely connected to Jesus Christ, like the vine, we claim to be connected, but not really. And so we fake it and still come and avail because we wanted to get the benefits of it. That's not right. We are to be connected before we really partake because more than anything else, he desires for us to find life in him. And that we would be abiding in him. So establish that core connection first. And I would encourage you, if you are struggling with that, am I really connected to God? Am I alive in Christ today? Can somebody help me with this? If that is you, there would be some people who would be standing here in the corner later, desiring to talk to you more about how you can abide, how you can connect with Christ. And would be so glad to pray with you and to pray for you. But for the rest of us, join as we come and we would partake of the bread and the cup and come into his table and partake of this meal. So, three things here. Conversations, communion, and then the last is to continue. Continuing in keeping his commands. Continuing in Jesus' command. In John chapter 8, verse 31 to 32. Jesus said to those Judeans, the Jews, who had believed him, if you continue, that's the same word again, meno. If you continue to follow my teaching, you are really my disciples. And this is what's going to happen if you remain in me. You will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. When you are free, you would be so free to just worship Jesus. You wouldn't care about what people would say about you or what others are so concerned about. You'd be so free to just worship and love Jesus Christ. Know him more. The truth will be known, and this truth will set you free. We will not be attached or in bondage to any other thing, because Jesus will free us if we remain in him. Isn't that beautiful? How can we do that practically? Two things in terms of continuing in his word. First is we keep his commands. We continue by keeping his word. How do we keep his word? We celebrate it. We keep his word through Sunday teaching like this. By the way, it dawned on me that the ability of the preacher is not as important as the accessibility of the listener's heart. I'm not making excuses for my poor preaching here, okay? But think about that. That's true. The accessibility of our heart would respond. If we're so open to God, we would respond even to the poorest of the preachers, because it's God's word that's so alive, that's so powerful. Are we responding to God's word, to God's powerful, active, alive, sharper than two-edged sword word? This is what it is. Keep his word through Sunday teachings, through growth groups, through family devotions, and through our personal time in the word. I pray that we would continue to do that, not out of duty, not out of grumbling, out of because you need to, but because you want to. When you are in Christ, when you're connected, you would want to have more of that. You want to have more of Christ. So keeping his word, and then secondly, a specific command that I'd like to point out is to love one another. Keep loving one another. Because Jesus said in John 13:34, a few weeks back, a new command I give unto you, love one another as I have loved you. Out of my source, out of this resource of my love, you love now. This resource is giving you so much more power, so much more energy that you can go and love others. Our praise team will come up to lead us in worship now, and they would be singing three songs. As we do this, as we worship in song, I'd like for us to reflect. I'd like for us to reflect what Jesus has done for us. Did Jesus have to die on the cross? No, he did not. But out of his love, he gave his life. And he paid it all so that you and I won't be in debt. He paid it all for you and me. That's amazing. That's grace. That's mercy. And I pray that as we reflect on what he has done, he did not only rescue us, but he invites us to make a home in him, to find life in him, to have life to the fullest. This is the life that he wants for you and for me to have. Because outside of him, there's just no life. It's pseudo life. It's not life at all. Come to me. He is inviting us. When you're still struggling, am I connected, Lord? Am I okay to come to your table? I'm not sure. If you want to discuss this again and you're struggling with this area, if you haven't made that first connection with Christ yet and you want to talk to someone, there are people here who would be wearing a lanyard. There are a prayer team, our elders in the church. They would love to talk to you if you're struggling about this. But for the rest of us, when we're ready, or if you would choose to just pray right there where you're seated, just talk to him. He doesn't need some high religious words, spiritual words. Just talk to him casually, like you would talk to somebody you highly love and respect. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I've messed up. I'd like to come to you. I'd like you to come into my life. I'd like you to be my Savior and Lord. You can do that. Some of us just need to be prayed for as well. Maybe some of us are struggling. Maybe some of us are being pruned right now. And we just feel so weak in our faith because we're going through different kinds of trials in our lives. I would encourage you, seek our prayer team. They would love to pray for you and lead you into the presence of God as you would desire to really make a home in Him. Let's worship.